Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. Yeah, but now we're not taking you, those of you who continue to listen, we're not taking you for granted either. We value your time and your interest very much. We're glad you're here too. And one of the ways we prove how much we value you is we introduce you to really smart people. People who are out there making it happen in the marketplace, like our good buddy Matthew Cartwright. Matt's an attorney. He is one of the resident attorneys of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's a partner with Munley and Cartwright out of the great state of Pennsylvania, out of the great city of Scranton. And he's our good friend. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim, and I appreciate that fine introduction. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, so how's business, or I should say, how's small business these days?
Small business is doing just fine. And, you know, if you really want to know what's going on in a small business, you can't listen to the national media. You got to ask a small business owner, because the national media doesn't know what's going on in a small business. And, you know, they think that because Citibank's having a problem, then City Market must be having a problem. And that's just, there's not a direct connection there.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's true, and I've seen that affecting actually the stock price for other banks that don't have anything the matter with them.
That are doing just fine.
Yeah.
But never have, I bet my bank hasn't had a better year than this year. Now they're probably going to be off a little bit on their mortgage fees.
Right.
You know, they're probably going to be off a little bit on their mortgage fees, but I'm, you know, let me put it this way. Based on what I do with them, they're probably doing pretty good just because of the fees they charge me. But anyway, I think small business is doing just fine. And I'll tell you something else, Matt. Whatever kind of a speed bump we run into over the next few months, which I'm predicting is not going to be a big one. I'm predicting it's not going to be as bad as people think it is. As some people think it is, whatever it is, small business in America will lead us out of that.
Well, that's the backbone of the American economy, the small businessman.
But sometimes we have problems. Sometimes we have contracts that don't work out as well as we thought. Sometimes we have relationships, business relationships, that don't work out, that turn sour. And when that happens, sometimes there's a conflict, isn't there?
Well, that's right. If everybody behaved the way they should, I'd be out of work. But you're right. Probably the bulk of the business cases that I do are garden variety fraud cases, breaches of contract, and
give us an example. Give us an example. Tell us a story about what one of those fraud or breach of contracts cases might look like.
Well, you know, we were just talking about the banking world. On occasion, you get a bad situation with a bank that makes certain promises. I did a case where, a small bank, a local community bank, had a commercial loan officer make a promise to extend a loan to a small company that wanted to expand. Business was really good, and they saw the opportunity, and they wanted to expand. So what happened was the bank extended about half the loan, and then halfway through that process, the small bank got gobbled up by a bigger bank. And all of a sudden, there were all new rules in place, and the loan officer couldn't make good on his promise. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, as a small bank, they were doing business on a handshake, and they had been for years. Yep. All of a sudden, the bank didn't honor that, and there were tremendous losses.
Mm. So what
so
you
the
do?
The fun part there is that you get to the part I like about those cases is that you get to roll up your sleeves and dig into those small businesses and really figure out what makes them tick, what makes them go, and more particularly, what makes them grow. Because what you have to do in these cases is you have to prove your losses. And so the question is,
if you want to sue them for damages, you got to prove damages, don't you?
Exactly. You know, it's not just a green light or a red light. The jury
right.
comes back with a dollar figure, and you have to
right.
give them guidance on what you lost.
Right. Hold on to that thought, Matt. When we come back, folks, we're going to continue this thought, which is to how to help you prove that you've had losses. But when we come back, immediately after we come back, I'm going to tell you a story that's the opposite of what Matt just said, that I like to tell. 2010. I'm Jim Blessing. Stay with me.
Oh, yeah. Life is lovely. Oh, when you're near me.
We're back. It's 17 till the hour. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Matthew Cartwright. We're talking about how to prove losses when you have them, when something happens, some kind of a relationship breakdown causes you to have these losses, how to prove those and make it something you can prove in court if you have to. And Matthew, we're talking about the bank, and I know we're going to come back to that. But before we go any further, I think it's appropriate, and I like telling the story, to mention what it could have looked like. You mentioned the banker made a promise and they got absorbed and the bank didn't do what the guy said they would do, et cetera, et cetera. I had a situation many years ago, not long after I started my business. This was probably about 1992. And I was struggling. I was trying to get my small business out of the ground. I had two teenagers and two mortgages and a brand new business, a couple of years old, and I was really having a tough time. But there was a banker who knew me pretty well, and he basically offered to extend me credit that I needed. And he was doing it because he knew me. I wasn't worthy of the credit. And he said, I'll do this. And you know what? I didn't even have to ask him really. He said, Jim, you need some help, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. He said, I'll help you. And so he agreed to do something for me. So he agreed to make this happen. I won't go into all the details, but before we could make it happen, the guy dropped dead. Now this was he was a VP of this bank, this independent community bank. The guy dropped dead. Now you can imagine. Not only did I lose my friend, but I'm losing this business, you know, this bank opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So I go back to the bank and I talk to the president of the bank, and I said, "Look, I just want you to know that I'm so sorry about what happened to Bill, and you know how good friends we were, but I wanted to tell you about a conversation that he and I had a month ago. I waited a couple of weeks before I did this." And I told him what happened. And the other guy didn't know me at all. The bank president, I guess it was, didn't know me at all. And he said, Jim, whatever Bill said we would do, that's what we're going to do. And that's
well,
the end of the story.
They did the right thing.
And you know what? And I'll tell you something else. Had he not done that, I wouldn't be standing here talking to you today. My only point is, I want to continue to talk about this because this is important, the direction that we're going in with your conversation. But I think it's appropriate when people do things right, we need to talk about that too.
Well, the other thing you noticed, you got your loan and there wasn't any lawsuit.
That's right. That's exactly
When people do the right thing, nobody needs a lawyer.
Right. That's exactly right.
Nobody needs a lawsuit.
But in your scenario, the bank didn't live up to their promises, And it cost this company a lot of anguish and a lot of heartache and a lot of money.
Right, and how much money is the question. And it's up to the job of the victim, of the plaintiff, to prove it to the jury's satisfaction. So what you have to do, it's fascinating, you have to put together a business model of what this what your company would have looked like if the wrongful conduct had not occurred. And so you have to look at everything. You have to look into all of the details of the business. You need to hire experts. Certainly, the first thing you have to do is hire a good accountant to get in there and make sure we know what the picture is. You need to get an industry expert because, whether you're making widgets or whether you're selling a service, whatever it is, I need to know all of the ins and outs about how you make your money and what the pitfalls are and what the opportunities are. You need an economist to dig in and create a projection over of what the company could have done, because you have to analyze things like capacity. You know, what are the rate determining factors for the growth of your company? Competition. What are the retarding factors in competition? Government restrictions to growth. I mean, even things like weather, Jim. I mean, wow. There's a lot of companies out. I mean, farmers. They're completely captive to the weather. And general economic market conditions. Everybody's subject to those. So you need some expert help to develop a four- or five-year projection on what your company could have been grown into,
and so
given all of the factors.
Basically, you build a story as if this company had continued to march with the original promise in place.
Right.
This is what the company would have looked like 3 years, 5 years from now. This is what is projected that they would look like, and here's the bottom line from all that, the literal dollar bottom line from all that.
Yeah, and you know who loves that is business school professors.
Oh, yeah.
They make wonderful experts because they just love this kind of thing.
Well, there actually are forensic accountants out there, aren't there? Forensic auditors who can get into that, aren't there?
That's correct.
They make a living doing that. So so you had a case like this, and you were able to prove the losses?
I've done this several times. It's kind of turned into my wheelhouse, these kind of kill the company cases, and you have to do it again and again.
Yeah. Stand by. We're going to be right back, folks, with Matt Cartwright right after these messages, and he and I will continue to talk about, going to get a little bit more into how this works, and if it happens to you, what you can do about it. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingham. Stay with me.
Waiting for the break of day.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me today. I know you're glad you did, because Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He's one of the resident attorneys of our Brain Trust. Matt, give us
NLEY.com.
And this is not your grandfather's attorney's website, folks.
You keep saying that, Jim, but my grandfather didn't have an internet.
A book in your future?
Some smart fella named Jim Blassingame.
How many years ago did I predict that you'd write a book?
Oh, man. I want to say 4 years ago.
And you kept resisting, didn't you? But now, the truth is, you're going to be writing a book in the next year, aren't you?
I am. Right now, I'm the chair of the business litigation section of the American Association of Justice, and a publishing company got wind of that and approached me and asked me to write a textbook on proving lost business profits.
That topic we're talking about right now. You know, one of these days, Matt, you're going to listen to me when I talk to you.
I always listen to you.
One of these days, you're going to pay attention when I say these things. All right, so we're talking about this company that went out of business because the bank didn't do what they said they would do, and you proved the losses, right? You were able to, through all these all these different scenarios. You built a scenario, a story, that went into the future 5 years and proved that had the loan been made, the company would have it's basically a story of cause and effect, isn't it?
It is, and story is the key word there. You don't want to just, you know, cook up anything, use your skyhook and come down with a number that you want to recover in the case. That wouldn't be believable. What you have to do is, as I said, really roll up your sleeves and dive into this business so that you know it, you know all of the pros and cons of the business, the opportunities, the challenges. One of the things we were talking about, when you're building a business model and a projection of a five-year growth pattern, what you have to do is look at what the growth retardants are and really scrutinize them. In this case, the little company that got hurt by the bank, it was a marketing company.
Right.
And it was very labor-intensive. A lot of salespeople had to go out, and salespeople had to be trained. And really, the growth, we found the growth, there wasn't any competition. It was a very novel idea. But the growth was retarded only by their ability to find competent salespeople.
Right.
And the people to hire them and to train them. And so that was the laborious process of that company. And that was what we had to go by. That turned out to be the rate-determining factor for the growth of that company, was how hard it was to recruit and find salespeople.
What did you determine that they'd lost?
It ended up to be a fairly big number for that company, because what they had earned in the past had been only a couple hundred thousand dollars. But I mean, when you're talking with a relatively new company, a small business,
right?
The sky is the limit.
Right.
We ended up putting about $10 million on the board for a five-year projection.
What did the jury give them?
The jury awarded about $1.5 million of that. There were some defenses to that, and, a jury...
The defense was able to prove some other ideas. And by the way, you're going to come back a week from today, I think, and we're going to continue this story and talk about how the defense works on this. But did the bank pay that $1.5 million?
They sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it didn't make the owners whole, did it? I mean, to some degree their life was ruined in a way, wasn't it?
Well, that's right, and it's something that we've been talking about. It's kind of an anomaly with these cases. These growth model projections really only apply to cases where your business got ruined.
Were these compensatory damages? Were they? What's the other one?
Punitive damages.
Punitive damages. In this particular
case, they were just compensatory. They were not punitive because it was a breach of contract.
Right.
You can't get punitive damages for breach of contract,
right.
And that's true all over America.
So they got $1.5 million compensatory, and next week you're going to come back. We're going to continue this story and talk about how the other side defended their position and got it down from $10 million to $1.5 million.
That's right.
Thanks, Matt, for being here. Good job today, as always.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next time. Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best, as you can tell. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.